You were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and sealed us with him in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ.
The book of Ephesians, it is the epistle of Paul. Paul the Apostle. And what is an epistle? It is a letter. Yes, Paul writes this letter. He writes this letter to the Ephesians. He's not writing to those who are homeless or those out on the streets or those who are out raising Cain. He is writing this letter to faithful believers. Believers, the church. Believers like us. Believers in Jesus Christ is who he writes this letter to. Before we get in chapter 2, I want to ask you, what is life? What is life? What is life for us as men and women? And thinking and going very simple, it is a beating heart. Your heart has to beat so that you have life. So I ask you tonight, how is your heartbeat? Some, a handful, have some mechanisms in you to make sure that your heart keeps beating. If it doesn't, it shocks you or shocks your heart to get it going again, maybe. But when the heart, the human heart, the physical heart is working as it should, on average, the human heart beats about 100,000 times in one day. And that's about 35 million times in a year, in one year. So the human heart, over the average lifetime beats more than 2.5 billion times. I don't think there's anything that man can make that would work consistently 2.5 billion times. And how many people have been born and lived? Billions. Lots. Only God could create something like that. Only God could create something that in a child, and as a child grows, and you see the small young people here today, just imagine their fist, a child, or Flint, his fist is the size of his heart. But as he grows, his heart gets bigger. And now here we are as adults, and they say the adult average heart size is about two fists, and that looked about right. your two fists. So this amazing organ of your heart, what makes your heart beat? Well, again, God produces and instilled these special cells in the right atrium. They create a contraction. And with this contraction, there's this electrical activity that passes through the wall of the atria. And this then causes the rate or the rhythm as known as your heartbeat. Does your heart beat the same all day long? Or does it have ups and downs? Yes, there's ups and downs. It depends on your activities. So, no, your heartbeat does not stay the same throughout the day. But depending on your activity of the day or what may happen or somebody scares you or something comes on or frightens you, your heart's going to adjust to those things. Depends on body condition as well, lots of variables. Depends on the person and all these things because we are all different. But yet God gave us all a heart that beats, a heart that keeps us alive. As you can imagine, over the years, we've had a lot of infant gadgets, car seats, bottles, pacifiers, and everything else in between. And yes, we had a baby monitor. You know, not the yes, we had the type you put in their room, and they make noise, and you can hear it in your bedroom or now. No, we had one of those where, you know, you put it on the mother's belly, and you could hear the heartbeat of the baby within the womb. And when this first time that we got this thing, you know, it's so cool. There inside Angie was Fern. Me and the boys would gather around and we would just want to hear Fern's heartbeat there inside of her. And it was so awesome. And it was fun to check on that heartbeat. The kids loved it and the boys would listen. And it was just so neat. But then there was this one day, you know, Nathan wasn't that old at that time, but we was checking his heartbeat. And it was nice and steady. And we said, Nathan, run down the hall to the other end of the house and run back. And he did. He went down and back. We checked, listened for that heartbeat again. And man, it was just going really fast. Heart working really good. But then after, wasn't long, and as he stood there, it just began to just slow down a little bit. Slow down a little bit more. He's like, Nathan, it's slowing down. Go run again. Run down and back again. Down and back he goes. And we'd listen again, and it'd be going so fast. So neat. So amazing. How about that moment when you found Jesus? That moment when you said yes to Jesus. That moment you invited Jesus into your heart, into your life, and said, yes, Lord, be my Lord, be my Savior. Did you have a moment like that? Because there's people, you know, there's those moments they say yes to Jesus, and their not just physical heart, but their spiritual heart, it takes off. They're so excited. They give their life to Christ, and they're off to the races. They jump into anything and everything they can do working for the Lord. They jump into the church. They jump into Sunday school, vacation Bible school. They say, hey, how can I help with the Bible study? And they just are jumping in here and there. And it's a great and exciting thing to see. It is a great and exciting thing to be a part of. They join the church. They begin to do more and more, taking on more responsibility and just hungry for the Word of God. Because they're made alive. They once were dead, but now they're alive like never before. Dead spiritually, but now alive spiritually. On top of lives physically and spiritually. And physically, they're all in. Spiritually, they're all in. And this excitement is contagious. Contagious to their family. Contagious to the church family. Contagious out in the community even. Because their friends are saying, whoa, what happened to you? Because there's this over-the-top excitement for life. The because their heart beats now for the Lord. For Jesus Christ, their heart beats, and it's very exciting. If you want to look at your bulletin again, I just want to read and drive home verses 1, 2, and 3. Look at your bulletins again. It says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air." You know, that means Satan, you know, in the environment. "The spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts." It says all of us. As we think about this, that's not too exciting, isn't it? Where it says, like the rest, we were by nature deserving wrath. By nature, deserving wrath. And that is the nature of our heartbeat. That is the nature of our heartbeat before we find Christ. And Paul is reminding these believers that. He's reminding them, hey, we were all lost at one time. We were all creatures and deserving the wrath of God. Our heartbeat before the saving grace of Jesus is not that good. Our heartbeat before we fall on bended knee and confess with our tongue and with our mouth that we are a sinner, our heart does not beat for the Lord. It beats for self. It beats for me, mine, only me, and no one else. But Jesus saves. Jesus saves us when we are sinners. And God knows this. God, knowing that the weakness of the human heart, the weakness of our humanness, God knows we need Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And it is God's desire, it is His desire for our hearts to change the beat, to have a new beat, to have a new energy, to have an excitement that beats for Him, and not ourselves, not of the things of this world, but that our hearts would beat for Him, the holy, the righteous, the divine God, the God of eternity. That's what He wants for us, even when we're still, by nature, objects of wrath. What good news. What great joy that should bring all of us today. And I want to look at your bulletins again. Really want to bring this on. Verse 4 and 5. What's it say? "But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved." It is by grace that you have been saved. Nothing else. Nothing else will work. Paul's letter here, it is personal. It's direct. It is from the Holy Spirit. And he's talking to fellow believers. It's the same message for us to be reminded of as we begin this journey to the cross, this Lenten journey. So that's the question tonight. How is your heartbeat? Really, how is your heart? How is it with your beating heart tonight? Jesus, on the night of His arrest and His crucifixion, You know, he prayed. He prayed, and there in John 17:11, he prayed to God the Father. And this is what he said: I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name that you gave me, Jesus said, so that they, all of us, may be one as we are one. That's the passion of Jesus Christ for you, pouring out his heart to God the Father for you. When he did that, you was on his mind. I was on his mind. All of us. Anybody else that's going to be born before he comes back, they were on his mind as well. Every country, each nation, all the wars, all the killings, everything. It was on him. And he prayed to his Father in heaven to protect us, to protect them. Today, if you have not given, and if you have not surrendered your heart, I encourage you tonight, surrender to Jesus. Whatever your heart beats for, whatever the things of this world, whatever those things that may be consuming you, take this time and ask for forgiveness. We need Jesus. We all do. We need him as Lord and Savior. We need forgiveness. And we need that mercy. And we need that good, good grace each and every day. Again, the choice is yours. It is your heartbeat. It is your choice. It is your decision, and it's only eternal life at stake. Only eternal life. But yet God gives you the freedom. He gives you the freedom to do what you want. He gives you that freedom. But today I encourage you, with that freedom, do not blame God. Do not blame Jesus. Do not blame the Holy Spirit. Do not blame the church. Make sure you don't blame anyone else for that choice that you make tonight. Whatever that choice is, do not, and you cannot blame anyone else. It is all you. It is all you. So there's no excuses. No reason to hold back. Doesn't matter who sees what. Doesn't matter who's sitting beside you or not sitting beside you. And as a church, we have a responsibility in this as well. We need to stand as a united body of believers on the foundational truths of what it means to be believers in Jesus Christ. These truths come from four areas that cannot be compromised. And Mike's going to pull these up on the screen for us. You don't have to write them down, but if you'd want this, I can email it or text it to you. But we got, as a church, be in unison and unity on these four areas. Number one, Scripture, the authority of the Bible is the authority, God's Word. God's authority. Number two, salvation by the grace of God through faith in Christ alone. Faith cannot be in anything else, only Christ. Number three, a sincere desire to live lives of holiness, integrity, and repentance. Repentance isn't a one-and-done thing. It is things that we repent of, and there's something that we need to repent of every day. It may be different things. It may be the same thing. You may have been asking for forgiveness of the same thing for 20, 40, 50, 80 years by now. If you're still working on you, you just keep asking, Lord, forgive me again today. Lord, help me. Forgive me. Number four, it's always going to be there as well. Love for God and one another above all things. Love. An unconditional love. A love that God shows us. We don't deserve it, but yet He still loves us. He's given us this time. He's given us this another season for Lent. So as we prepare for our closing hymn and coming forward for our receiving of the ashes, now I'm going to offer a prayer. And maybe the Holy Spirit spoke to you tonight, and maybe it's saying it is time for your heartbeat to beat differently, to have a new focus. And I will offer that type of prayer. After I pray, I will read a blessing over the ashes. And as I said, when you come forward, I'll make the sign of the cross on your forehead. I'll say, repent and believe in the gospel. But after I read that, read the blessing, I'll go over and share with our musicians the cross. They will begin, come forward and play that closing hymn. We'll begin to sing. I'll come down there and you can come, receive the ashes, kneel, pray, take your time. If you have something, put in the basket. That would be your time to do so. Let us pray. Father God, as we once again feast upon your word and allow your word to speak to us, allowing your word to realign ourselves and prepare us for this Lenten journey, this journey that begins tonight on this Ash Wednesday. Lord, continue to speak to each and every one of us according to our needs and for our situation. I pray that we would respond, that we would be receptive. And Lord, whatever we would continue to wrestle with, that we would not try to hide or bury, but that we would continue to keep at the front. We would continue to seek in your word more direction, more clarity, and understanding. And Father God, if for anyone that may be here tonight, everybody listening, anyone that may watch, as the Holy Spirit speaks, and if this is their night to accept you, Lord Jesus, I pray that they will take a moment, that the first thing that they do right now, they say, Jesus, I am a sinner, and I need you as my Lord and Savior. I invite you into my heart and life to be my Lord and Savior. And I thank you for allowing me, Jesus, this moment to come before you. And Lord, I know there's others that may be saying, Lord, I'm sorry, and I know I ask for repentance over and over. I ask for this same thing to be taken from me. I ask that I would no longer do this or do that. For Lord, we all have had those moments, and we had those miles that we traveled. I just ask, Lord, as your people continue to lay those things at the foot of the throne, may we continue to trust you as you go before God the Father and intervene for us, and that your holy work will continue in us and in your church, in this community, in our country and in this world. Oh Lord, continue that holy and mighty work that we may continue to be one with you and one in ministry to this world as we are your hands and feet. And in Christ's name I pray. Amen. I share this reading and blessing over the ashes before us tonight. Let's pray. Almighty God, you have created us out of the dust of the earth. Grant that these ashes may be for us a sign of our mortality and penitence, so that we may remember that only by your gracious gift are we given everlasting life through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.